morning, our scripture lesson comes from Philippians chapter 4, a bunch of verses in a selected form. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about everything, but in prayer, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things that you have heard and received and noticed in me, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever I have. I know what it is to have a little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry and having plenty and of being in need. And my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to the riches of his glory. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you join me in our opening prayer? God, as we worship today, you know the worries that occupy our hearts. You know the hardships we face. Help us to feel you near us. May we sense your peace this day. May it soothe our souls and allow us to become beacons of light in the world. Having enough is a worry for so many. May we find our contentment in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have there ever been times in your life when it's difficult to be thankful? When it's difficult to rejoice? For some, these words from Paul might feel like pouring salt into a wound. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Sometimes we don't feel like rejoicing. Sometimes it's too hard to consider ourselves fortunate. Sometimes we're so consumed with pain or guilt or loss or loneliness that rejoicing feels physically impossible. We might be suffering through illness. We might be watching a loved one in pain. We might feel hopeless about a family situation, but Paul is still pushing us toward peace. Why is he doing that? I'm presuming because it was the only thing that sustained him while he was in shackles in a Roman prison. I have a family member who went through a difficult divorce. I have a friend who lost her child before it was due. I'm still figuring out, 8 years later, how to live without my mom. And I know each of you, in some facet and nook and cranny in your life, have endured some pain that you still feel. How do we push through? How do we overcome? How do we move forward? Paul encourages us to be in prayer. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Because thanksgiving turns into joy and our prayers turn into peace. From prison, Paul is writing to the Philippians, telling them that as hopeless as it seems, while Rome is persecuting the early church and he's sitting in prison, he assures them that God is with them. He assures them and us that God hears our prayers and that we should give all our cares to God. Whether our prayer is about a test that we're waiting on hearing from the doctor, or a physical or emotional pain that we're carrying, about a damaged relationship, about a big financial decision, about a broken car or appliance, about anything and everything that troubles us. Today is Mother's Day, and this day holds a lot of emotion for a lot of different reasons. Some are celebrating joyful relationships with mothers, grandmothers, children, and chosen families. Some are missing their mothers or grandmothers deeply today. Some mothers are grieving. Some are exhausted, thick in the trenches of raising young children. Some are watching their children grow older and more independent and wondering how the years have moved so quickly. And some are carrying complicated feelings about this day, pain and disappointment and distance and longing. Mother's Day can be a day of celebration and thanksgiving, and it can also hold all of these struggles and fears and worries and grief that we carry, which is why Paul's words are a gift to us today. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Because the truth is, there are seasons in life when contentment feels easy, and seasons when it feels impossible. One of the challenges of our culture is that we are constantly taught to live dissatisfied, to want more, to look for what's next, to compare ourselves with others. Those of us with social media often are scrolling through carefully curated lives, looking at what others have online and wondering if we're doing enough, providing enough, achieving enough, being enough. Parents compare themselves to other parents. We carry this quiet pressure that our lives should look different, feel different, be more than they are. And that kind of constant comparison makes contentment impossible. Paul writes these words from prison, not from comfort, not from ease, not from a megachurch filled with thousands of people. No, alone in a jail cell. Paul writes, "I have learned to be content with whatever I have learned." Which means contentment doesn't come naturally. It's something formed in us over time through trusting God. Paul doesn't deny suffering. He doesn't pretend hardship isn't real. He knows what it is to have a little and to have plenty, to feel secure and to be vulnerable. And yet he says that prayer and gratitude can anchor us, not because gratitude erases pain, but because gratitude helps us to notice that God is still present with us in it. Sometimes gratitude is big. Thank you, God, for healing, for reconciliation, for provision. And sometimes gratitude is small. Thank you, God, for this moment of peace. Thank you for laughter. Thank you for the person sitting beside me. Thank you that I made it through today. Every day, our minds are trained toward anxiety and comparison and fear and scarcity, but Paul pleads with us to focus on whatever is true, honorable, just, whatever is pure and worthy of praise. Not because we need to ignore reality, but because we believe God is bigger than our fear. Because this is what will sustain our faith. This is what will keep us moving forward. This is what gives us strength to put one foot in front of the other. As we think about Paul's words, we remember that this letter is to a community. This encouragement is written to a group of people, and the most important thing to acknowledge about that is whatever we are going through, we are not alone in it. I wonder what we're being alerted to. pray for the child that is missing, and for the fear in their parents at this moment. We pray that they're found safe. Amen. On the face of this earth, as long as we exist as mortals, we experience joy and we experience tragedy as a community and as individuals, and we do it in the Lord. Susan Eastman made this incredible observation that in the Lord, our forward movement is like our constant movement on the surface of the earth. We are held fast by gravity at the center, yet simultaneously spinning at tremendous speed, constantly in motion and constantly at rest. Without this center of gravity, this grounding in settled presence of Christ among us, the depiction of life, the life of faith, as a race becomes frenetic and destructive. Indeed, given the pace of most contemporary life, we certainly do not need more frantic activity. We need rather to rest in Christ's presence at each moment, neither nostalgic for the past nor fantasizing of the future we cannot yet see. Paul tells us to focus our minds on what is true and honorable, just, pure, pleasing, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise. Is this just an exercise in positive thinking? Apart from the resurrection, probably yes. But Paul is holding two realities in view at the same time. Yes, there is the immediate reality of a world in which human beings are constantly at war somewhere, betraying each other, brutally suppressing each other in order to get ahead. This was the true of the Roman Empire, and it's true today. And every day we hear and see a culture that is focused on what is false and dishonorable and unjust and impure and shameful. And we begin to think that to act hopefully in such a world is naive and unrealistic. I'm told on a regular basis. Told that on a regular basis. But Paul also sees another reality, and this is the reality that holds our future in hope. That is the reality of God's redemption already here and drawing us near, training our minds to think of this reality and thereby to act with hope, is a daily, maybe even moment-by-moment discipline. For such a discipline, we need to experience the counter-reality of God's rule in the midst of our tangible human relationships. And Paul offers his own relationship with the Philippians as just a tangible counterweight to the temptation of despair and futile thinking. Finally, once again, Paul promises an outcome of these habits of heart and mind, and that promise is the peace that surpasses all of our understanding. As we learn what it means to have enough and to experience God's peace, we become freer people, freer to love, freer to give, freer to rest, freer to notice joy, freer to trust God. Contentment is not pretending that life is perfect. It's trusting that even in uncertainty, even in grief, even in exhaustion, the peace of God is still holding on. And perhaps that is the secret Paul learned, that our circumstances do not have the final word. Christ does. And because of that, we can pray. We can give thanks. We can find peace even here. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? God, we come into your presence with praise and thanksgiving for your faithful love. Your love never fails, not even when we turn away from you. Even then, you do not abandon us, but reach out again and again, inviting us back into relationship once more. As you welcome us, so you welcome our prayers, and we bring them to you with confidence, knowing that you will hear and answer. We pray for the world you created, the people who share it with us, for countries caught up in war and violent conflict, for those whose homes and lives are threatened by natural disaster, for these and all other areas in our world where there is need and despair. We pray, Lord, hear our prayer. God, we pray for our country and for its people, for our government leaders, federal and local, for our judicial system, police forces and military, for our cities, towns, and rural communities, for employers and employees, for the young and for the old, for all who are a part of our nation. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for our local community, the people of this city, for those who are unemployed, for those who are in prison, for those who are hungry, for those who are alone and afraid, for all our neighbors, both known and unknown to us. Lord, hear our prayer. Almighty, loving, and creating God, God who is all things to us, we pray for our mothers, for those celebrating this day with joy, for those exhausted by the daily work of caregiving, for those learning to let go as children grow older and more independent, for those longing to become mothers, for those grieving children or grieving mothers, for those who carry complicated relationships or painful memories, for stepmothers and for adopted mothers, and for all who nurture, guide, protect, and love others with the care of a mother, for every joy and every ache carried on this day, Lord, hear our prayer. God, we pray for this congregation, this community of siblings in Christ, for all who are ill or whose loved ones are ill, for those who are anxious about the future, for those struggling with their faith, for those who minister among us, for all your people in this place who are gathered here and those who are elsewhere this morning. Lord, hear our prayer. Pour out your Spirit on us. Fix our hearts and minds on what is true and honorable and right. Give us the joy and peace that comes from knowing and doing your will. Help us to be faithful to the call we have received in Christ Jesus our Lord, extending your loving invitation to the world around us. And so we pray together the prayer that leads us here at the gathering at Scott Memorial. God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.